Today, new property loans and wages growth are down. It's all fine. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to the latest post covering finance and property news. The ABS this week released their latest data on lending indicators, which is a quarterly estimate of new borrower accepted finance commitments for housing, personal and business loans. And they also released the wage price index for March, which measures changes in the price of labour, but unaffected by compositional shifts in labour force hours worked or employee characteristics. And actually, we are seeing a significant chilling effect based on the data, and it's going to likely reduce property transaction momentum and prices ahead. Remember that investors currently account for around 20% of total mortgages and about 40% of new mortgage flow. So the ABS reported the number of new home loans fell 6.2% to 139,794 in the March quarter. Falls were recorded across all borrower types, following strong growth throughout 2025. And of course, the cash rate rises in February and March had an impact. Despite this quarter's fall, lending activity remains at a high level, with total new home loans 8.6% higher than a year ago. The value of new home loans also fell, down 3.8%, or down $4 billion, to $103 billion in the March quarter, but it was still 18.5% higher through the year. Annual growth in the value of new lending has continued to outpace growth in the number of loans, a trend that we've seen since December 2023. The average home loan size is now 9% higher than a year ago at $724,415. And that's consistent with rising property prices, with, of course, the strongest growth in Western Australia, Queensland and South Australia. The number of first home buyer owner-occupied loans fell 4.3%. That's down 1,349 loans in March, after a 6.5% rise in the previous quarter. Lending to first home buyers was 5% higher through the year. All states and territories fell except the Australian Capital Territory, which rose 6.5%. The largest falls were recorded in Victoria, down 4.5%, Queensland down 5.8%, and New South Wales down 4.1%. And the value of first home buyer loans also fell this quarter, down 6.7%, or down $1.3 billion to $17.9 billion. That was 17.9% higher than a year ago. And the average loan size rose 1.1%. That's up just over $6,000 to $614,048 in the March quarter. And that followed an 8.5% rise in the previous quarter, when the Australian government's 5% deposit scheme was expanded. Yes, of course, bigger loans cost more. Ouch. So we are seeing a significant shift in mortgage lending as the high interest rates bite and as borrowing power is reducing, meaning for the same level of income, households aren't able to borrow as much from the banks as before the recent hikes. And if you then consider the potential impact of the budget on borrowing power, this is also now having a chilling impact on borrowing capacity too. Actually, one mortgage broker estimated that for a typical property investor loan before the changes, based on, let's say, a substantial $250,000 income, the investor was able to access $964,000 to just over $1 million, whereas now this had dropped to around $712,000 to $722,000, which is a significant drop. Now, turning to the wage price index, the index rose 0.8% in the March quarter, and that was 3.3% annually. The ABS said quarterly wage growth has remained steady at 0.8% since September quarter 2025. Annual wage growth is 3.3%, largely unchanged from the 3.4% in December quarter 2025. But once again, on an annual basis, public sector wages have grown at a faster pace than in the private sector for a fifth consecutive quarter, although it's true the gap has narrowed substantially. Annual private sector wages growth was 3.2% in the year to March, compared to 3.3% in the same time last year. Annual public sector wage growth was 3.3% in the year to March, lower than the 3.6% in the same time last year. And looking at the segmentals, the healthcare and social assistance industry had the largest contribution to wages growth. It rose 0.7% this quarter, a major Commonwealth-funded initiative in the early childhood education and care workforce, saw wage rise paid in the private sector of the industry, while Queensland hospital healthcare workers were the main driver of the public growth. So yes, government spending directly or indirectly flowing through into higher wages. Now, with inflation running at 4.6% currently, all this means that once again wages are falling behind, and so the average household income is shrinking in real terms. Now, this helps to explain the recent sharp fall in Australian bank shares, as analysts warn that the property tax changes would make it less attractive to invest in housing, reducing credit growth, and some are actually tipping a decline in listing activity as investors hold on to properties for longer to protect the grandfathered tax benefits. And of course, the lost tax benefits could also be passed on to renters in higher rents. Morgan Stanley analyst Richard Wiles, quoted in the AFR, said the changes to negative gearing and capital gains tax discounting will be bad for bank share prices. The budget will have a negative impact on housing market sentiment and the mortgage market, he told clients. In our view, favourable tax treatments is one of the reasons why there has been a 30-year housing supercycle in Australia. An analyst at Macquarie said the tax changes would more than double the holding costs for property investors and reduce their borrowing power by between 10 and 20%. Now, while Treasury estimated that the tax changes would result in house prices growing by around 2% less than they otherwise would have been over a period of a couple of years, it is likely more significant falls will ensue because of the combined impact of lower borrowing capacity and wages rising below inflation. Actually, we saw a flurry of investor properties listed before the budget, but of the 1.3 million negatively geared investment properties that are now grandfathered, the incentive is going to be probably to extend the hold period on those properties, given the tax benefits will be lost when the property is sold, which suggests a change in listings ahead, although others may be forced to sell, so the net position is, well, not yet clear. And in addition, investors may switch to buying off the plan new property, but the performance of such investments in recent years has been far from stellar, and the costs of building them are rising fast. CBA, who reported this week, saw their share price drop like a stone. First, thanks to the third quarter cash profit of $2.7 billion, which missed market expectations, and then in reaction to those changes unveiled by Treasurer Jim Chalmers and how it would impact bank profits ahead. CBA has a 26% share of the property investor mortgage market, by the way. And we also note that CBA reported personal loan arrears hit their highest level since 2019, while home loan and credit card arrears also increased. Troublesome and non-performing business loans of $6.5 billion were $400 million higher than the previous quarter, reflecting single name exposures across a range of sectors, they said. And they did concede that home loan and credit card arrears increased, but then tried to explain that in terms of seasonality. But it may be more than that. More broadly, while investors have been hoping against hope that the new tax measures on negative gearing CGT would be offset by real spending restraint and a clear plan to boost productivity and grow the economy by the government, unfortunately, savings were mainly spent, with the government largely relying on big cuts to the NDIS that will still be a few years away, and of course the windfall revenue gains to deliver a tiny improvement in the budget bottom line over the next 5 years. As a result, the overall tax take will grow and inflation will eat away at any small benefits that households may have expected to see. So as Richard Wiles put it, we are seeing the end of an era. In our view, favourable tax treatment is one of the reasons where there has been a 30-year housing supercycle in Australia. However, changes to property tax concessions could have a profound effect on the long-term demand for investment properties. All else equal, less leverage and less property price appreciation implies more modest mortgage growth. So absolutely, we're entering uncertain times for households, banks, and the broader economy. And this is before the full impact of the frozen Straits of Hormuz are felt. So calling for property price rises in this context is, well, frankly, brave at best. But we will see. No, it is not all fine. And as I discussed yesterday in my show with Alex, the truth is the government is continuing to lead us down a cul-de-sac. Unfortunately, households are going to get the damp end of the stick. Again, I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. My thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.